Turn your Bibles, will, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and we're here considering the life of Peter. The theme of this is Peter's life and a consideration of his life. Follow Thou Me is the title that we've put with this series of messages. Follow Thou Me and the life of Peter. I hope in our minds that we've been able to get maybe put together more about the man, the life of this man, this apostle, this man called by the Lord, a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, and a man that would not be known by many at all in the normal course of life, but has been known now for millennia, and his calling by the Lord and the Lord's use of him and his life. This man was brought a long way by our Lord, wasn't he? And, you know, there's help and hope for us. I see that in that. We don't worship Peter in any way, and nor is he to be worshiped in any way. And he is one of the apostles. He is a leader amongst the apostles there for the first church. But that's it. He's not a pope. He's not an archbishop, nothing like that. He is a man called by the Lord, made an apostle by the Lord, and used by our Lord in a mighty way. But beyond that, we don't have any holy reverence of Peter other than him being our brother and us knowing that he is an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter's responsibility as an apostle was to witness and testify of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his purpose as an apostle. And the Lord brought him along so he could do so. We've seen that in this book of Acts, where he feeds the lambs and the sheep there in Acts chapter 1. He preaches to Jerusalem and to others there in Acts chapter 2. Last time we saw that he's got great confidence on our Lord and his calling in Acts chapter 3. Peter knows what he's been called to do, and he's been doing it. We embarked upon chapter 4, and that's where we find ourselves tonight. We see in verse number 1 of chapter 4 that as they're there in the temple, Peter, namely, John is there along, and they're both testifying of this that the Lord has done. The man that is 40 years old has been healed, and he's known to all that he sits out there at the temple to collect alms, and they're out there on Solomon's porch, and Solomon's porch with this second temple is on the south side of the temple, all right? Over on the north side, on our Sunday afternoon consideration of the book of Ezekiel, with this second temple that's at hand, Solomon's temple having been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the second temple that's been built in the days of Zerubbabel and then renovated by Herod over the course of a project that lasted 40 years. Over here to the north side of this second temple is the castle of Antonia. The Romans have come in there and built a garrison right up against where the temple's at. There is maybe a court or so in between, but right there, if you could look out the temple, if there were a window, you could see that great garrison that's there. And we have a reference to that later on in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul is taken and they're going to kill him, thinking that he's brought a Gentile into the temple. And out of that garrison, they come to get him, and then they take him into that garrison or that fort. But here in chapter 4, they're preaching and they're speaking to the people, it says. Looks like the Sadducees are in control this year, okay? It looks like it's the Sadducees that have their own high priest in station. And they came upon him, okay? Is verse number 1. They're grieved that he's preaching the resurrection, which the Sadducees would be. Remember, the Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. They don't believe in a spirit. They don't believe in angels, okay? The scripture tells us about that. And so 5,000 are saved in addition to the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, verse number 4. Verse number 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that is John and Peter, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Same question they asked Jesus, okay? Same thing. Understand, they're gritting their teeth. They're beside themselves, which are going to be evidenced in what we hope to cover tonight. And so they're, you know, what's behind what you're doing? What's the power? What's the authority? That was the word that was used in they asking Jesus. Then Peter filled, verse number 8, with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is upon him. And what's he do? He speaks in tongues. No, he speaks in what they can understand. Listen, he says unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto this impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him do this man stand here before you whole. Right back at Jesus Christ again. Every answer they give is Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, look at it. Let's just look at it here. Look at the answer. Look at the example that we are given. They go to the scripture in chapter 1 to determine about and see about the need of filling this office of the apostle that Judas had by transgression fell. And so they go to the Word of God. They come to Pentecost. And what? They're there and they're accused of being drunk. And Peter says, no, this is the Lord. This is what was prophesied about the Lord in Joel. It's all about Jesus. He tells them what? He goes straight to telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he? And that Jesus is raised from the dead. The necessity of the resurrection, the importance of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. He keeps on telling about this. He says, what you see shed on us, this is what the Lord Jesus has done. This is what God has done in us. And it's here to be a witness unto you. David prophesied about it. And so what's he say? You're guilty of killing the Lord. Repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be saved in him. He says here in verse number 38, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and it's a misused verse. He says, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall see receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism doesn't save, nor has ever saved, never will save. But Peter is preaching, repent and believe the Lord in every way, all the way unto being baptized and following after the pattern that the Lord gave, that you might testify and identify with Christ. It's a testimony of his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, his baptism, not when John baptized him, but when he was baptized unto that which he came to do, his gospel, his fulfilling of his gospel, that they identify with that the Lord has saved them. And he said, this promise is unto you. And so they preach Jesus and Jesus. 3,000 are saved. Chapter 3, that this man is healed. They heal this man. And how is it again? Don't look on us that we've got any power. It's by the power of the Lord. It's by the power of our Lord that this man has been raised up. And you have killed him. You know what you need to do? Repent of it. And believe in this one that has given his life and that you have killed and yet by the power of God was delivered and all by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, as they mentioned. This is the plan of God. You are guilty, but it's not out of control. The Lord has worked in this. And so, again, he says it's by the name of Jesus. Chapter 4, verse number 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Do you remember that reference? Do you remember Jesus talking about that? Indeed, he did. Quickly, in Matthew chapter 21. Take a look over here. I'm going fast. We've got a lot of ground to cover, okay? Matthew chapter 21. Remember this? Jesus saith unto them, verse number 42, Matthew 21, 42. Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. He's saying, it's a question. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bring forth fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And several things that can be said about that. But Peter refers back to what the Lord said. He's the cornerstone. He's the stone you all rejected. And you know what? You need to remember what he said about it. Fall on him and you'll be broken. Repentance. Let that stone fall on you and you'll be ground. That's the way that the Greek reads. You'll be ground up. You'll be crushed. You'll be destroyed. No, don't go there, but receive him, believe him. Listen to what he goes on to say. Verse 12 of chapter 4 of Acts. Neither is their salvation in any other, none other. You name a god, no salvation in them, but there's salvation in Jesus Christ. Neither is salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only one by which sinners can be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, verse 13, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they had an accent. I wonder if that's not the thing. The way that they dressed maybe wasn't as affluent as those that would be there in Jerusalem, especially around the temple. All right. Those that would have the boldness to say that they were instructors. What have they been doing? What have they been doing till now? They've been teaching that 3,000 that was saved. They've been busy and teaching about Jesus, haven't they? And so these men that would undertake to be, in their minds, in the Jews' minds, rabbis or masters or teachers, they're unlearned and ignorant men. Do you remember them coming here to school to learn? No, I don't remember them. I don't remember them coming here. Because they didn't. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Why? Because they're preaching boldly. They're preaching boldly. The Holy Spirit of God is upon them. And what's happening? Just what Jesus said. These that stand against them cannot refute what they are saying. They can't buck against it. Now, they resist it. They wrestle and twist against it. But they can give no word from the scriptures that refutes it, that legitimately refutes it. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, the whole disdain that they had for the Lord and the discounting that they had for the Lord, they couldn't hardly remember what he looked like. That's the reason they needed Judas to betray him. And then now he's just a memory. And then these guys, they don't remember them. They don't care about them. It doesn't even make an imprint on their brain that John was there amongst the Sanhedrin and the elders that gathered in the questioning of the Lord. They don't even remember, much less Peter. And beholding the man, verse number 14, beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. There's nothing that they can say. This man, of all the ones they would pick to heal, this one that's been out there for 30 years, you know, since he was a child, of all the ones, this one that everybody coming and going from the temple knows, right? But the Lord, it's the Lord's power and the Lord's design. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, and they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? We just can't get rid of this problem. For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. There's no hook, crook, or lying that we can do to cover this one up. He's there with them. He had to run leaping and walking and praising God going into the temple. I mean, they're perplexed. Their house of cards has fallen down, so to speak, and they just can't get it put back up. Verse number 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them, verse 18, and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Quit that. Stop that. We don't want to hear about that. You are now ejected from the temple. We don't want to hear you talking about that name in that name of Jesus of Nazareth. Stop it. Quit it. We will do bad things to you. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, you figure that out for yourselves. Judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Little different than that night that the Lord was before the high priest and all the false witnesses and all that, isn't it? Little different. John and Peter are alone, you know, physically. But you know what? They know they're not alone because they know their Lord is with them and their Lord is using them. And they are persuaded so of the Lord. As the Lord Jesus told Peter, he is converted. He is dedicated to whatever the Lord wants. Peter knows he's got a death sentence on him. He knows that. And you know what? It doesn't bother him. It's not troubling him a bit because he's in the hands of the Lord. He's trusting in the Lord. He says, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you figure that out for yourselves. But we're going to speak what we've seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they tried to pour it on more, threatened them more, verbally assaulting them and threatening them. So we're going to do something to you. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. Oh, if it had just been somebody else. but see, the Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? The Lord knows the power that he wants to manifest. He knows the witness that is going forth. And we see here now there's 8,000 plus in Jerusalem that have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. 8,000 members in a church. We would be wore out, wouldn't we? We would be wore out if we had 100 or 200, wouldn't we? I'll tell you what, it'd be a great challenge. And you know what? The Lord would help. He would. They let him go. Verse number 23. And being let go, they went into their own company, where they go back. They go back to the saints. And I love this. The saints' reaction to their threats and distress of men. Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, we hear the prayers of the saints. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. You know what? We find the apostles, we find the saints, we find the Lord's people in his church praying right along the line of the way that their Lord Jesus taught them to pray. Not reciting the model prayer, but understanding who they're praying to and worshiping and praising him and then bringing their present situation to the Lord and asking the Lord to work in it, thanking the Lord for it, and worshiping the Lord in it. Listen to this. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? That's what those jokers are doing, aren't they? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's what's happened. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus. You know, I've always wondered about those words. Have you wondered about those words that are there? Thy holy child Jesus. I've wondered about those words. Why are those words that way? You know, and thinking about that and considering and asking the Lord about that. Was there any greater prophet than the Lord Jesus Christ? None. Is not Jesus an answer to the prophecy that Moses said, a prophet like unto him the Lord would raise up? We've seen that. That's been preached, right? You think about the brethren. Who are the men? Before the apostles have been visited by the Lord and in their training and in their teaching and then all of Judaism, what is it that they're taught? Moses and the law. Abraham, their father. How old was Abraham when he died? 175 years old. How old was Moses? 120. Jesus was a young man when he came and did what he did. Of all those that the Jews honored and loved, you think about the prophets and you think of course, we're studying about Ezekiel, and we see about Ezekiel how young he seems to be when the Lord has called him. Daniel, he was called as a young man of the Lord and prophesied and used of the Lord, but then we understand he died an old man. This Lord Jesus, this Son of God, the Son of God, God in the flesh, he came and did what he did when he was very young. You know, and he didn't hold that back. Even the prime of life, the Lord laid down for the sake of his people. Isn't that something? I think the apostles, I think the church is convicted about that point. From the standpoint of being a man, their Savior is a young man. Not an old man, a young man. Their Redeemer and the fulfiller of all the Scriptures is a young man. Nigh considered by some even to be a child. That was one thing that the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and scribes, when he talked about knowing Abraham and Abraham looking forward to his day, they said, "You're not even 50 years old. And Abraham has seen you, and you've seen Abraham? For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, the Son of God, whom thou hast appointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. He stood alone, and they were against him. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." So it wasn't out of the control of the Lord, but the Lord was much in control of the thing. He turned them loose, and Jesus willingly, as I see it, submitted himself to what they would do. And they did it, as it is, as wicked men would do without the restraint of the Lord. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. So now they bring the current distress, the current issue. Listen to what they're saying, Lord, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Lord, listen to what they're saying. They don't pray that the Lord shuts them down, do they? But they said, listen to what they're threatening and give us help, give us grace, give us strength, give us boldness to keep on preaching by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Our young, our wonderful, our loving, compassionate, gracious, and merciful, our Savior, our God, and our King. Do what you're pleased to do in His name. It says, help us to speak, and Lord, work with your power. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness. They were ready. They were ready. Stop saying that. And they keep on preaching Jesus. Quit preaching in his name. They keep on preaching Jesus. Him and his gospel. And then everything. And every time they're confronted, what do they say? Repent. You need to repent. You need to repent of what you've done. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they all had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We went ahead and read that so we have the context for the next chapter. So Here, all the saints, many of the saints are contributing to the need of all. Because again, they are essentially by their own, these Jews that have claimed the name of Christ, 5 or 8,000 plus, they would be cut off by their family. They would be cut off by Jerusalem and those of their families in that. But you know what? The Lord blessed and the Lord convicted them so. They pooled what they had together for that time that all might be taken care of. See, how do you stop from the human standpoint? How do you stop a movement? How do you stop a great thing that's happening among people? Well, one of the tactics is you starve them out. But the Lord wasn't going to have them be starved out. Now, are we to live this way today? You know what? If distress comes upon us, that the world turns against us so, then we as the Lord's people ought to do this. But until then, we're to live our lives and use what the Lord gives us. Be compassionate. Give unto the Lord what's due unto the Lord. Be almsgivers for the help of those saints and even others that are in distress and in need. Because the Lord says, the Scripture says, Paul writes, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And so it's not difficult to reconcile the two. It says a man that won't provide for his own household is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. Okay? So this was for that present distress. Necessary, ordered by the Lord, convicted by the Lord, because the saints that had looked around upon the saints that didn't, and they gave and helped for their relief. We see here Brother Barnabas sells what he has, gives it to the apostles, so it might be, was it so the apostles could buy a new Lexus? A hopped up chariot? No, it's for the benefit of those in the church, wasn't it? And so that's the design of the Lord. Not that we have a communal way of living, but if need be, we need to help one another, then we should do so. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here we're going to see Brother Peter. We've seen him having great confidence in our Lord and his calling. We see him standing in our Lord. And we see our brother again leading the Lord's church. He's used of the Lord to lead the Lord's church in this thing. This is something that it's something that could get out of hand fast and be misunderstood and be taken in a wrong way. And the Lord's working in it, and an understanding is being given to the Lord's church in that. But Peter is used of the Lord to lead in this thing. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they decide to sell what they have and give some of it to the church. Because they like that praise. They like that worship. Do you and I do what we do so that we might be praised like our other brothers and sisters by our brothers and sisters? You know, what we need to do, you and I need to do what we do because our Lord wants us to do it. Because for accolades and praise of men, we've lost our reward. The best service to the Lord, I mean, there's many things that we do and that we do publicly, it's known. But you know, we never need to remind one another of what we do. We certainly don't need to blow our own horn. And some of the best service to the Lord is done to where only the Lord and that person knows it. The Lord honors that. The Lord honors that. Indeed, He does. And so some things just can't be done and kept privately that way. But we should never be looking to toot our own horn. You know, let the Lord reward you for your faithfulness. Let the Lord lift you up. Brother so-and-so did so, or sister so-and-so did so-and-so, and I don't want to be left out in that. Well, you know, there is a thing that we're a witness and a challenge one to another and provoker to love and good works. But is it that you're convicted by the Lord to do it, or you just want to keep up with your brother and sister in Christ? Don't look to keep up. Look to obey our Lord. That's what we need to do. And so these have sold their possession and they've brought it to the apostles' feet. And what they have said, here's all of it. Peter, verse number 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Does the Lord work deceitfulness? Does our Lord say, lie so you can get praise from your brethren and from the church? Does the Lord do that? No, the Lord doesn't do that. They were tempted by a thing. They had their hearts in the wrong place and looking the wrong way for what was right and what was good. You know what? They could have given part and just said, here's our gift. And it'd have been just fine. But they wanted that recognition of having given all. And you know what? As Brother Barnabas did, having gave all of this land that he sold, if they gave all that they had to the church, it would certainly be noted, because they would then know, the brethren would then know that they've given everything they have, and so they need in return the care of the church. But Ananias and Sapphira, they kept back part and said that they gave all. They lied to the Lord and they lied to the church. And the moral of this story is, don't lie to the Lord and don't lie to the church. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not right. And so he says, Peter says, why has Satan filled thine heart? Peter, they said, Ananias, you've allowed Satan to fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. You've got your focus on the wrong thing and keep back part of the price of the land. Whilst it remained, verse 4, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Why have you cooked this up, Ananias? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Remember over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is in regards to the Lord's Supper and a lack of reckoning about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the observance of the Lord's Supper and partaking of the wine and the bread there, tokens, symbols of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the turning in to the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not transubstantiation, but a token as the Lord gave to remember the death of our Lord until He comes. It says there that not reckoning, not reckoning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ correctly, that those there in Corinth, there were some that were sickly, and there were some that were weak, and there's some that were dead. Now, the Lord will work in His church on His own without even the movement of the church for discipline. We need to know that. You know, and what's sad is when there can be those that say that they're saved and members of the Lord church and wreak all kind of havoc in the church and nothing happens to them. Sometimes the Lord might allow that so the church be challenged to do what's right there. But then sometimes maybe it's just so that they are members, but they're not saved. They've been added by men, but they haven't been added by the Lord. Because the Lord chastens His own. And may the Lord help us. I pray it's with you that you would say, I'm afraid to do some things because, well, we ought to be afraid to cross our Lord in His church. We need to have that sober understanding. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Was Ananias saved? Sure enough. Guaranteed, he was saved. But the Lord wasn't going to let this happen. Not this lion. He wasn't going to let this happen. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Brother Jim, this seems pretty harsh. That's how serious it is. Don't lie to the Lord and don't lie to His church. Because you lie to the church, you're lying to the Lord. And Peter answered unto her, verse 8, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yep, that's it. You sell it for 10? Yeah. Yeah, we sold it for 10. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles, verse 12, were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Again, the south side of the temple. Down here on the south side, Solomon's porch, looking down towards another, if they would be on the outside of that porch, they would be looking to another valley there to the south. I can't recall what it is. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. They knew something special was going on with these folks. Now you think about Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and all those guys from day to day, taking those thousands of people that have been saved and that they baptized. Boy, got busy down there in the Kidron, didn't it? I mean, that was a spectacle to behold, wasn't it? And then over there on Solomon's porch, where's the biggest place for they meet over there at Solomon's porch, and our brethren are teaching them about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we get in our minds, and I say this, maybe you don't, but we get in our minds that there's like 20 people there, and they go over and sit on about three steps of the porch, and you know, they're there talking, and you got the 12 apostles, and maybe there's 40 people there, and there's thousands. What do you think the priests, the high priest, and the Pharisees and Sadducees are thinking? They could bite nails in half, couldn't they? One day they go and teach. 2 days they go and teach. 3 days they go and teach. And then they say, of all things, the first day of the week is a special day. What do they say about sacrifices? What do they say about the order of the temple? Jesus has fulfilled it all. No need for a Passover. The Passover lamb's been slain. Peter, what do we do about the annual atonement when it comes up here in the seventh month? Jesus is the answer to that, brethren. See that? Oh, man, it's grinding them, isn't it? It's grinding them. Mm-mm-mm. Isn't that good? And the rest, verse 13, durst no man join himself to them. So there was a time that those around that heard the preaching would not enjoin themselves, but the people magnified them. They knew that something special was there, and they honored them. And believers were added more to the Lord, so in time it passed, that more believed and were added. Multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem. Word spread, didn't it? Bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. We're going to stop right there for tonight, and Lord willing, we'll pick up here in chapter 5 at verse number 17. The high priests are rising up again. May our Lord help us, and you know, it's one thing to know these things, to know these facts. But may our Lord help us, we who are saved, members here at Olmsted Baptist Church, we who are saved, may we draw from this that our Lord can help us right here in our day. Our Lord can help us to be a bold witness for Christ. We just have to get over the thing that it's not of us, but it's all of the Lord, and we need to yield to Him and pray to Him as the disciples did, that the Lord would give us boldness to speak, and we would grab a hold of those opportunities that we have every day to just simply tell sinners that they need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a great exposition. I mean, folks may ask you questions, Bible questions and all that, but I tell you, before it's all said and done, get it steered back around to their need of Christ. And that they need to not only repent and believe and be saved, but that they would need to follow Christ too and be obedient to the Lord. And may we learn from this. May we learn from the way our Lord worked in our brother's life, that He can use us. But we need to yield. We need to submit. We need to know what His big picture is and His plan. It's not just this life. We're passing through. We are passing through. Tell yourselves that about six times a day. We're passing through here. This is not home. We're passing through here, and our Lord has given us something to do. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to take a moment. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to think about what our Lord has done. This is our Lord's plan and purpose, to take the lives of those that He saves, and having built His church and His churches since then, He takes these people and He takes these churches and gives them a grace and gives them a strength and a boldness to stand to proclaim simply Jesus, so that someone like you might hear and be saved too. The Lord doesn't do this so that great oil reserves and great wealth and gold and precious metals will be gathered to Him. You understand what I'm saying? You hear that? This is not a great business enterprise upon the earth. But this is done so sinners like you, sinners like us who have been reached and are saved, so sinners like you can be reached and be saved. Look at the great work of the Lord and for whose sake it is. For the sake of sinners, that they might hear and be saved. And so we point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe in Him. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel, His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul.